Hi, and welcome to GamerCast, episode 110. Adam, and this guy next to me drinking his Coca-Cola is
Didindal from Darnassus, aka Paul.
We're sorry about last week, but with everything
Adam going, died, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was ill.
Yeah, anyway, so let's get on with it. Happy Jesus Zombie Day to everybody.
Is it Jesus Zombie Day today?
Yep.
Oh, brilliant.
It's Easter Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, here and not at work. Work tomorrow, though.
No.
Stupid bank holiday. It better not be too busy. Yeah, Zombie Jesus Day, so that means we shout out to our friends at zombiejesus.com.
Zombie Jesus.
Which is more probably an IE8. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And God also encourages zombie-like behavior. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life." Woo, zombie Jesus. Say something. Come on, dude.
I was just actually thinking it'd be really cool to have, and very controversial, to have a film that's about a person finding out that God really exists, and Jesus actually exists, and everything that's written in the Bible did happen, and it was a bunch of kids teleporting back through time, piss-arsing around with futuristic technology in the past, pretending to be Jesus, and didn't realise they actually were what people ended up believing was Jesus.
I see, right. Well, so Adam's got a few reviews for us today.
Yep. Well,
he was so rich enough, he downloaded free demos from Xbox Live.
Basically, I've been back on the Xbox and hardcore lately.
Yeah, I know. Every time I log into a Windows Live Messenger, Adam is on his Xbox.
Yeah, because I've had a couple of weeks off. And
Adam is watching an HD DVD. Adam is watching a video. Adam is playing such and such.
I was borrowing a copy of Call of Duty 4 and been hardcoring that, and then I got myself a copy of Army of Two. Had to give back.
Do you like my new avatar? My display picture.
That's cool. Die, noobs.
Me for the win.
That's cool. And had to give that back. Was playing Army of Two. To be honest, Army of Two has just died on me. Once the coolness of, you know, shooting over a barrel and allowing your man to go further forward, and then he shoots over a barrel and you go further forward, the fun wears out of that very quickly and there's nothing left, so the game ended up being very crap. But I'm holding on to it, I'm not giving up on the game, I'm using it as collateral to get Grand Theft Auto 4 as a trade-in. So, because that died for me and I was like, I want to go around and shoot stuff again. In multiplayer, didn't have Call of Duty 4.
No, so he played Guitar Hero 3, no. Which is the closest thing he could find to a shooter.
No, I've been playing Halo 3. So, been back on Halo 3, loving it again. And also, one of my mates came over, he's not a first-person shooter, so pulled out Skate, and I've been hardcore in Skate, and I've been getting quite good at doing that now. So, loving Skate. So, I was in the mood for revitalizing old games that I've had and were put away to bed, and I was thinking of what to do for GamerCast, and I thought I'll just go through, because I've played my demos to dead that I've downloaded, so I thought I will go through the entire list of everything that's on Xbox Live demo section and just download something that I was tempted to buy but just couldn't be bothered to waste the money on buying. If someone gave it to me for free, I would have played it. So I downloaded a load of games and started going through them, and I ran out of time, so I only managed to get through a few. So the few that I got through was Guitar Hero 3,
a full version of which is sat downstairs.
Project Cellophane or something like that. Rainbow Six
Cellophane.
Las Vegas 1 and Shadowrun. So,
come on, quick review.
Yeah.
How long have you got? Adam's got a time limit here.
Yeah, I've still got over a quarter of an hour, alright. Guitar Hero 3, very impressed with that. The demo, very impressive.
Hang on, if you've only got a quarter of an hour, this is only going to be a 20-minute episode.
No, I've got until... Sarah's not going to order into the pizza until 8:15.
Okay, so you've got half hour.
Yeah. Liked Guitar Hero 3, the look of it, feel of it. I was a bit bothered that it's just a dance mat style game. It's going to be a bit weird.
Whoa, man, Guitar Hero 3.
You know, we're talking about... I haven't played it yet.
And you haven't played it. You took the demo.
Hang on. I'm talking past tense. Before I played the demo, I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, oh, Guitar Hero 3.
I misunderstood what you meant.
Is it that good? And I figured out what the controls were on the controller. And I thought, oh, it's actually going to be that. Yeah, this is going to make it worse. And fair enough, it was pretty crap with the controller. Wish I had a guitar.
No, but it's better.
Oh my god, did my head start bopping after a while? And I don't know what it is. There is something actually fun about just watching dots go along and putting your fingers at the right place. It does. You playing with the music, you finally start getting ooh. And
yeah, man, I need to nail this bit.
So I actually really enjoyed it. It bloody hard with the controller.
No, it's easy. It's hard with the guitar. It's easy with the controller.
I probably find it easier with the guitar.
The trouble with the guitar is,
thing is though, a controller is natural to you, where I can actually play bass guitar, so playing a guitar is easier.
A cheap plastic guitar with 5 buttons on the end.
Yeah. But, and then I was thinking, I'm tempted to actually go out and buy a Guitar Hero 3, but part of me has stopped just for the fact of Rock Band that's coming out, which is the full set, which is bloody expensive.
Nah, screw Rock Band, Guitar Hero for the win.
Just for the multiplayer act. Attributes for it. So yeah, but I'm very tempted. It's £60 though for it with the guitar.
Did you get it with a controller?
Nah, it didn't seem as fun. I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, way more fun.
If I was going to just use it with the controller, I'd just have the demo. But yeah, no, very
this
tempted.
Demo doesn't have all the cool tracks.
No, it doesn't. But it's put it onto the list of, I actually want to own this game. Or I want to own a game that has a guitar now. So it's kind of finished it for me. I really do like this.
My first PC came with a guitar game like that. It didn't come with an actual guitar, but it came with a plectrum. I forgot what the game was called, which it was for. And you just had to hit the plectrum in time with the thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So
bit
so
of air
much,
guitar. Classic
so
air
much,
guitar.
So much for your ancient games.
Yeah. Next one, Project Cellophane or whatever it was. This is a Square.
Cellophane.
This is Square Enix game.
Cellophane.
Basically, futuristic Japanese anime style ship flying everywhere, loads of weapons, can customize it in a hangar and stuff. It looks amazing, and it looks my type of game because it's Japanese anime. But
hang on, the Guitar Hero 3 demo rating. What do you give it?
Oh yes. For the demo itself,
1 out of 5.
I would actually give it
as a demo,
I am not going to review the games here. I'm actually going to review the demo. So as a demo, I've actually shown you what the game's like, and it's a good demo. I would give it 3 out of 5 because it really does give you a good variation of different tracks. It does give you some teaching things and shows you how to play the game and stuff. So you kind of get a feel of what it's actually going to be like when you just hand over your money, but. Unfortunately, the game is held back by the fact that you don't actually have the guitar sort of thing. And there was nothing to show you what the buttons were if you were using a controller. It taught you, the tutorial before you started playing was for using the guitar only. And considering it's a demo, no one's going to have a guitar. So that was the only bit that held it back. But apart from that, it was quite good because you really got a chance to have a feel what Guitar Hero 3 is like before you go out and spend your hard-earned
cash. You just have to work out what the buttons are.
Yeah, it took me a while.
Which are all the trigger buttons and the shoulder buttons
yeah.
A.
Yeah.
Move the D-pads for the whammy bar.
Move
the analog sticks for that. Back is your super uber power, whatever.
Didn't realise that one. Is that for when you're going like this?
Yeah.
I thought it was quite a good demo. Right, Project Cellophane. It's Square Enix, so Japanese anime. Guys who did Final Fantasy. Looks absolutely amazing. Storyline's probably going to be amazing. Kind of gave me a vibe about Robotech. that was on the GameCube and some other and other formats, and it was very much like this. But for one thing, the controller was not right for flight sim sort of thing. I had to reverse the up and down. It was very hard to work out what you were supposed to be shooting at. I eventually figured out just shoot at anything that's got a red reticle near it, and I couldn't really hit anything. Never found any fighters. It was very large expanse, and you could just, the buttons didn't seem right where they were placed. Now, fair enough, if you can move the buttons around, I imagine, the options, because the options were very large. You had like a place where you could buy different weaponry and change the weapons around, and then you could go in and move all the boosters and everything on your spacecraft. But it was just something about it. You just felt like floating in space and you were all over the place. And I didn't find anyone shooting me, and I couldn't find anyone to shoot. And it just didn't, it wasn't something I was grasping. It didn't feel right. So I was kind of a little bit kind of, you know. So it wasn't blowing any wind up the dress sort of feeling sort of thing, you know. So I was kind of...
What? You wear a dress when you play on your Xbox?
Yeah, I dressed up as a Roman.
They didn't wear dresses, so that's cool. They wore
armor. Togas.
Things.
Toga! Toga! 2000! So yeah, it wasn't really selling the game that well, but it did give a good view of it. If you could get over the
Square Enix demos are always shit.
Yeah.
It's like we're deliberately trying to make the demo shit.
But... yeah, I'd definitely say it's one of those where you probably would need to play that demo to work out whether or not you wanted to own the game. What else did I write down for it? Yeah, nice amount of options. It just, there's something about the gameplay just didn't feel quite right. So, yeah, I would give that one 2 out of 5. Right, next one I had a go on. Most people,
worth downloading.
If you are a Japanese anime fan and you like the whole space stuff and things like that and Robotech, have a go, because I think it is literally personal preference and gameplay style of whether or not you'll get on with this game. So I think it's a definite, give it a go, see how you feel. I wouldn't pass hard-earned cash, but if it was really cheap, I might be tempted by nothing else to play and actually practice with it, because some games you just got to practice until you become one with the control system, and some games are not intuitive enough to pick up and play.
In other words, they did a bad job designing the game.
Also keeping in mind, A, it's a demo, and B, I didn't play it for very long. But I was didn't play it for very long because I was put off. Right, next one. Rainbow Six Las Vegas. Now, this is the first one. I haven't had a play on the second one, but I thought I'd have a go because everyone keeps ramping and raving about it, and the new one's out, and people who have got it have said, very good.
Did he swipe my mouse?
Yeah, he swiped the mouse.
Little git.
Had a go on this. Now, I'm very particular when it comes to Rainbow Six because it was one of the first person shooters that was actually not fantasy, because I had my first person shooter was
Wolfenstein 3D.
Dark Forces. And I went in through that sort of thing. But then I got hold of Rainbow Six... Spearhead or whatever it was called.
Oh, Darren, what's the Nazi party anthem? That was the intro music for Wolf 3D.
Stop reminiscing.
I can't remember how it went. Mm-mm.
Anyway, when I played Rainbow Six on the PC, I absolutely loved it because you had the maps and you can actually design where your men come in, how far they stop, tell them when to bust in. You had lots of teams and it was all very much planning, and how you planned it helped, and it was like one shot, you pretty much could get killed by one shot.
But bang bang, you're dead, noob. Bang bang, eat my level 70 epic sword, you noob. Bang bang, bang bang. I've got two wielded epic guns.
But then when Rainbow Six came out on the console, when I had it on Xbox, it turned into
a noob's game.
Yeah, you could get your team to go stand by a door when you went next to it, then you could go around the other side and say go, and they'd run in, and it just kind of felt a bit... you've ruined the best bit of the game that actually made it like that. And I have had some of the Rainbow Six on the Xbox, and I've actually got lost. I didn't lose my love for it, but I just kind of forgot about how cool the old one was and just got on with it, and I did like it. And I just presumed every single one since then would be the same and no control system for the other team. And the team always has seemed to have got smaller and smaller. Now, I only literally had a quick go at the first part of this and then left it at that, but I had a good go at the control system, and I did like the ability of like a control for like ducking, hiding, being able to stick your arm over. I am liking games that allow you to hide, like Gears of War and Ghost, and like this, and Army 2, of being able to hide behind something
and stick
your hand over the object and shoot at it. I do like that, and it is very cool, and that's what I liked about this game. The weapon system was very nice, of being able to change to something that had longer range or shorter range. Holding down buttons for changing on menu system was quite cool. Being able to tell your team where to go, and then the whole assault, do not shoot unless being shot at, or check your targets and things like this, moving your men around and being able to cover them and stuff. And there's probably more aspects of the game that I haven't even seen yet, but just playing that, it made me feel like you haven't got it all back, but they were giving something back to the player that was from the PC version that was missing from the original. And I was just kind of like, that's more Rainbow Six, that's a little bit more going in there, taking out the tangos and telling your team to go to the left for a smoke grenade, flashbang, burst in, shoot. It just kind of like, this is actually a bit better. And I must admit, Rainbow Las Vegas is actually quite cheap now. So I'm tempted to go for the old one, but then again, some people have said that Rainbow Las Vegas 2 is going to be pretty much the same thing, but just as good, better, and will just have more levels and different. It's a bit like someone saying, if you don't give a damn about the story, you might as well buy Halo 2 and not bother with Halo 1, for the fact that the game's better. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to jump in on it, but I am very tempted that maybe getting Las Vegas might be worth getting. Paul's smiling because he's found a picture of Homer Simpson. But the thing is, the person who's recreated Homer Simpson's face to be a CG representation, in the sense of he's got really big eyes.
He's trying to make him look like a real person.
Yeah, it's real skin.
It's actually so fucking scary looking.
Yeah, because he's got the really big lip and the nose and everything's in. Everything is in perfect scale to how Homer looks, but it's actually someone's real face, morphed, and really big eyes.
Yeah, the picture of it is, if you have a look on pixaloo.blogspot.com, it's on there for March. It's in March's archives. It's so scary looking. It is like, well, man, that's like...
That's very creepy.
I wonder if they've done any other ones. Oh, no. I thought that was like going to be the whole family then.
Oh, they've done Mario.
Oh, God, Mario!
With someone's real face. That just looks like the cat thing, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like the cats? You know, the stretched out cats for the milkshake. With
that's
a crusher.
Scary.
It just looks like that. It is.
Yeah, so we've just got Homer Simpson and Mario on there. That's really freaky. And he used 5 different people to do the textures for Homer. Whoever these people are.
Yeah.
That's oh my god. An animated version. Oh, I thought it was going to be like moving around and shit.
Nah, it's just blending from the original to that one. It's quite good, it's very well done, but it's just...
It's so scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
It highlights how weird cartoons can look and still look like normal-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, and there might be rumours of RoboCop being remade.
RoboCop being remade?
According to our buddy on Ian's Red Log, yeah.
Well, there is a big thing about films being remade, and I think...
Because I like RoboCop, because RoboCop was really good... really good of example what happens when you give corporations too much power.
Yeah, the thing
OCP for the win.
The other
yeah, man, OCP.
The other thing is
Omni Consumer Products, man.
Because we did studies on the guy who directed it because of the way that he liked to use interactive media and actually using how the media talks to you and the fact that you ignore it.
Whoops.
But if you change the world around it and change the media to match the that new world that you've created in film, how people can pick out the media, like if you watch all the media reports about this, that and the other about the world in RoboCop, is really freaky. Like you what in the same guy, he did Starship Troopers, and you watch all the media reports where it says, click here if you want to find out more, there's a hanging at 8, click here to find more, and just all the news reports and stuff like this, it's just kind of really freaky way of going about it.
Well, no, it's not freaky whatsoever, because if you were one of those people looking at our news, you would think it's just as freaky.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's weird how he uses that sort of thing, and I love the way that he directs it. And to be honest, if he didn't do another RoboCop, it would seem weird, because it wouldn't feel right.
Although he needs to lose the stupid flying jump pack thing, that's
lame. Oh, from number 3.
Yeah.
Number 3 was awful, because I don't think it was done by the same guy.
Lose the jump pack, okay? RoboCop shouldn't be flying around.
And the removable arm with the machine gun thing.
Yeah, that's lame. You don't need that.
Yeah, I liked it where it was like...
RoboCop 2 was brilliant, I thought.
Yeah, with the actual... where they made a RoboCop 2.
The start and middle of it was really good when they were trying to make a new RoboCop and, you know...
Yeah.
All that.
And screwing around but with the original RoboCop. But
I think the end was just, you know, too action-oriented and too iffy. No offense,
RoboCop. But I must admit, I did like... the first one as well, with the fact
I like the theme in the third one, that whole areas of Detroit are being bought up to, you know, be redeveloped.
Yeah.
And everything. That theme is good.
Because it follows on from the first ones, because that's what they were trying to do at the very beginning of the first one, but then it failed. And then it was more in the sense of...
Well, yeah, that's what OCP were trying to do throughout the whole thing, tear down the whole city and make it...
Rebuild it. From scratch, a perfect city. Because the Ed 209 was quite cool. I did like that. The fact that it showed kind of like it was complete artillery.
Ed 209 was military hardware, not policing units.
Yeah, it was a big overkill.
We need robotic RoboCop.
It was overkill. Speaking of Robo,
overkill. It couldn't walk through a door. What's it going to do?
Have you seen?
You are under arrest. Oh no, there's a stair. Oh no.
Have you seen that new thing in? Japan robotics that they've been doing.
What, a 100-man robot falls down the stairs?
Oh, no, this is better. They've decided that it's best to not actually build a full robot, but actually to build a cyborg. And they've actually built the first cyborg.
I saw a really freaky-looking robot with a really freaky-looking big head, which had all, like, facial expressions and everything. I saw that a couple of weeks ago. It was really freaky. Was that it? Because from that, the robot looked quite small. Or is your cyborg like full size?
The cyborg's full size, because the reason why it's a cyborg is
it's got a human heart.
It's part human. Basically,
it isn't part human at all.
It's a cybernetic suit for a human to wear. You put
So it's not a robot or a cyborg at all. It's just a bloke in a funny suit.
What they've decided is it'd be easier to actually build something that uses human parts instead. So they've designed the software. You know, you can put those electrical pads on and you can actually impulse the muscles to make them work.
It requires training, though.
What they've done is they've designed it to be in reverse, so it picks up the impulses from your muscles. So when you send the impulse down your brain to move your leg, the computer translates it into a robotic joint that's attached in the suit.
I ain't wearing that.
And basically, this guy was
too unreliable.
The guy was able to walk around in it. He can't move very fast. He just walks at walking pace. But he was able to actually pick this person up, hold him in their arms, and crouch down to the floor and stand back up again, because it doubled his strength. Because it's helped. You're basically, you try and lift, but as soon as you're pushing against it, the robotic elbow will bend for you, and it actually gave you the ability, and they're using it for like working abilities to be able to lift stuff up, not hurting your back, because the fact that an item feels lighter than it would normally. But their next project is they're going to design it so that the next person who's going to have the new suit, which I think will be HAL 6, the guy's legs actually only go so far down, and the rest of it will be robotic. So they all pick up the
impulse. I know, since a child, you've been after those big robotic machines and aliens. We know, okay, you're excited.
But yeah, it's quite cool, the fact of saying, right, stuff it, let's not try and build AI that can make a full robotic suit walk. Let's make a robotic suit for a human to wear and use all the impulses from the guy's brain to be able to walk around. And it does look really cool.
Yeah, trouble is you have to do it really slowly. And you have to be really careful about what you move.
But if you have a look on YouTube and type in HAL or HAL 5, and you can see the report on it, it's quite cool.
Let's do your Shadowrun review.
Right, Shadowrun. Now, I had really low expectations for Shadowrun because we did do a big thing about it, that there was a Vista release and the Xbox release and they merged together. But there was lots of things about the server being rubbish and that it wasn't all it was up cracked to be. It wasn't polished enough and they should do better. And it should be good to revisit the idea of having a Vista game and an Xbox game merged together in multiplayer. But this probably wasn't the game to do it, and it was some of a bit of a disappointment. So I never went out and bought it. I came very close to buying it, but never did. So I thought, seeing that it was there, I thought, let's give Shadowrun a go. So I've been going through the training parts and having gone the bot matches, which I did like. I like the fact it's got bots on there. And
see, that's why we need to develop AI for our computer games.
Yeah.
Your robotic suit wouldn't be any good then, would it?
No, you don't need AI for robotic suits. You need them perfect for video gaming. But anyway, I was low expectations, and I actually found the first-person control system for it good. Sometimes I can pick them up, and I just feel naturally playing the game, and I feel like I can control it.
Well, it's some how it should be.
Some first-person shooters, I know straight away, it's like when I played the latest Torque. As soon as I started moving, I felt it disorientated. It's when you feel disorientated, it doesn't work correctly. And, you know, Halo, every time I pick up Halo, I have no trouble getting straight back into it. And I picked this up, and the button control was very intuitive of the commands for the being able to use the glider, teleport, and the vision thing. And you have a mixture between technological enhancements and magic. And I actually did really like it, because you're coming along and there's like shotgun. Now a shotgun's got another use. Instead of having to
wait. Instead of just shooting people, you can smack people over the head with it. Pwned, noob.
Well, a shotgun's for up close and personal, and because
not in real life.
Because normally in most games where you have a shotgun, like in Halo, I've always slung my shotgun, and I will pull it out when I get up to someone close, and they turn around and shotgun to the face, one shot, they're dead. Now, the cool thing with this is, I have the shotgun, someone's too far away, I run at them, I teleport, and I end up near enough right in front of them, shotgun. If I miss, I run backwards, teleport, and I can teleport backwards. And teleporting, you don't go forwards. Basically, teleporting is not where you're looking, it's the direction you're moving. So if you sidestep, you'll teleport sidestep. If you jump, you'll teleport
backwards. Oh no, you're trying to shoot somebody and you're just jumping around all over the place.
You can only teleport so many times until it recharges. But it is quite
20 cool. times.
You've also got
someone.
This technological thing that allows your eyes to like advance through to see someone through a wall. So someone quickly hides behind a wall, you see where they are, you can see that their back is to one direction, you teleport through the wall, shoot them, which is quite cool. The other thing that they had is the glider that comes out that allows you to quickly glide around so you can move around from different areas. I had a go at using the gust. You had a magical power to fire a gust of wind. You can only use that once and it takes a while to recharge, which is quite cool. And you could blow someone off a building, but it also meant if someone was trying to get towards you or trying to get to the goal, like the flag or something, you could blow them further down, giving you a chance to give them another blast of your machine gun. The other one was this freezing thing that made everything crystallize, and you can slow people down when they touch it and it drags them in, giving you a chance to shoot them. But if you wanted to, you could build all this crystallization stuff to block a doorway, and they've got to stand there and shoot all these crystals to fight their way in, giving you a chance to recruit yourself. You also had a magical thing was called the Tree of Life. You kind of fire the seed out, hits the ground, and this tree comes up. And it's basically a little bit like in Halo 3, where you've got that healing device you drop on the floor, but anybody can be healed by it. So you can like get people away from their Tree of Life, get near it, and heal yourself. The other thing you've got is a bit like in World of Warcraft, you've got the ability to res someone. So you can
res me, you noob.
But you've got these like circles in the bottom left hand corner, and that's, you have that much of magic, and like wind will cost two of those. To teleport will cost three, and you have to wait for them to recharge. Now I think it's like it costs five to res someone, but as soon
as you res me, you noob.
As soon as you res that person,
FFS, noob.
Those five are always blacked out. You can't use those five ever again because you've res someone. And if that person gets killed, you gain them back again. But if, say for a mistake, you got shot, you drop down dead, I res you, I lose part of my magic, we're running around, I get a headshot from a sniper, drop down dead, all of a sudden your life will start draining and you'll start bleeding to death because the person who resed you was killed. So unless someone else comes up and heals you with the res, or you stand near, or you have to stand near a tree of life, you will die. And if someone drops down dead, they can still be rezzed, which means if you shoot someone and they drop down dead, before one of their teammates can come over, you get your machine gun, stand up right next to them. You know, like in most first-person shooting games, you shoot their body because you know the camera is panning around and you can see that you're going, "Yeah, I got you, noob," and shoot him in the head. In this
game, face, noob.
You actually have to do it. You have to shoot the body to destroy it, otherwise they can be rezzed back again. So if someone's far away from their respawn point, you just, and you know they're going to respawn away, instead of the teammate coming over, and instead of having just another guy to shoot, you're going to have two guys to shoot. So there was things like that, and I had a look on the list of things you can buy, and there's loads of weaponry and some other advancement things, and the ability to turn into smoke or something like that, loads of other cool features. And I actually thought, well, that's quite interesting for a first person shooter to be bringing some of these elements in, and it's seeming a lot better than it was. I'm going to have a little bit more on the demo. I don't know if I'd actually go out and spend the money. I've seen it on play for $24.99, but yet again, I might have to see what the servers are like, whether or not it's any good on multiplayer, because otherwise it's just going to be a bot game I'm going to play, and I'm just kind of, do I or don't I? But no, it's intrigued me a lot, because I do like the magic. Whenever I play Oblivion, I always go as a mage and stuff, and I do like firing the whole magic out. And
mage. Last thing we need is a spellcaster over here.
But no, I must admit, I was quite impressed. Right, remember, we're not reviewing the games themselves, we're reviewing the demos.
Because Adam doesn't want to buy the key.
So, for this one, I would definitely give this 4 out of 5 for the demo, because there was online play, and then there was also bot play on some levels for practicing, as well as taking you through the first part of the training system on how to use all of the spells and technological advancements. But each one of those training bits, you also had a second option to go into a bot match for practicing them. So
bot match.
It allowed the fact that you, for it, the fact that it's a free demo, it, there's lots of stuff to do with it. Some demos are very limited, and I like ones that are very intuitive in the sense of allowing you to just spend lots of time playing the game and actually falling to want to own the game if you don't have lots of money. Because some, especially as a kid, I remember making sure I got as many demos as possible so that it was like I had lots of small games to play, and then eventually I could save up for one. So I'm quite impressed with that. For Shadowrun, it would be a very useful game for someone who hadn't got any cash and wants something different. Still got some other games to go through. I had Splinter Cell and something else I downloaded as well, so I haven't got around to playing those, so I shall be getting around to those for the next show. But no, I must admit, if you haven't got any games that are really keeping you going at the moment, I would definitely say go on to Xbox Live and go on to the demo section, go in to see all the games, and just flick through looking at them. And it's like, if you don't know what it's about, have a look, download it, see if it's any good. It's worth having your own play on a game just to make sure it's not what you want, or if it's might be a hidden game. I must admit, remember back in the day, we had this guy continuously saying, "Do you know anything about Supreme Commander? Can you do a review?" Paul was always like, "Oh my god, what the hell is this Supreme Commander all about?" And we didn't know anything about it. I just happened to flick onto something that has Supreme Commander. I just clicked on a link. Before you know it, I'm watching a video about it. And I went, "Well, I know Paul's ranting and raving about Command & Conquer 3 at the moment. He might like this."
Hey, no, he wasn't.
There you were.
No, he fucking wasn't.
It was
don't exaggerate. I said, "Oh yeah, it could be interesting, but EA, blah, blah, blah." So
yeah. Well, that's what I meant, ramping and raving. You were going on about the EA better not screw this up. And then we had a look at this.
Which they did, by the way.
Yeah. And then we had a look at this, and we were like, oh my god. And before you know it, both me and Paul have got Supreme Commander, and it is an absolute amazing game.
When was the last time you played it?
I know, I need to play it a little bit.
Let's see when the last time I played it was. Let's see who's really a Supreme Commander fan. Last time I played Command & Conquer 3 was October.
Last year?
No, this year. I have a time machine. Last time I played this was on the 16th, which was, what, a week ago?
Yeah, I
played it last week.
I must admit, I need to get the patch back on so that I don't need the CD in. Because if I have
that was
patch,
like the first or second patch.
Yeah, I need to patch it. Just for the fact that it makes the game more playable, because that's the thing I liked about it, was the fact I could just pick it up and play. But at the moment, RTS-wise, I'm still playing the new Dawn of War, which is very cool. But
ooh. 10 more minutes.
There's a pizza problem, mate.
Okay, let's do things a bit backwards this week and do the news now. Two game pieces of news which I think are important we should touch upon. Mm-hmm. One, The Sims 3 has been announced.
Cool.
Cool new features with this game are apparently... In Sims 1, you just had your house. In Sims 2, you had other houses and stuff. You had like a neighborhood and you could visit people or whatever. Sims 3, instead of just rendering your house within a neighborhood and then having to load the house next to it, now it's like a world being rendered, so okay. You can like see other houses and
you can actually walk from house to house.
You don't have to like do the magic teleport thing anymore.
That's cool.
Red Alert 3 has also been announced. They've been talking up the naval combat quite a bit.
That's cool. It would be nice to be able to have that back.
There's going to be Xbox 360 and Windows released for Red Alert 3. They won't be cross-platform play.
Shame.
But hopefully, Red Alert 3 would be like a Games for Windows live game so I can get some gamer score.
Cool.
Hopefully, if EA have some sense. Also, since a significant number of our listeners, approximately 30 or 40%, use iTunes to listen to this show, it is now official GamerCast policy to recommend you do not use iTunes and uninstall it immediately from your computer, as well as QuickTime and Apple Updater. Have you heard why?
Nope.
Apple have turned into a malware company.
A malware company?
Yep. Basically, what they've been doing is pushing update. Basically, you know, you used the old version of iTunes, yeah. It didn't have an Apple update program. It just had its own built-in updater, which would notify if there was a new version. Mm-hmm. And then you just go to the website and install it. Well, a couple of versions ago, they introduced the Apple updater software, which is like a separate application.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I won't boot up the virtual machine because it would take too long. And now what it does is, by default, it checks all of Apple's software. So if you're just clicking along, boom, your computer will be taken over completely.
Really?
So for example, you're somebody who just wants to use QuickTime, they fucking bundle iTunes with you unless you worm your way over the Apple site and spend 10 minutes looking for QuickTime on its own. QuickTime, which then installs the Apple update software, which you really want to do because QuickTime has so many security vulnerabilities, that then forces iTunes and Safari on you. If you've got iTunes, which you need QuickTime for because QuickTime is installed with iTunes, and so is all the other crap you don't need running, you get Safari bundled. So everybody who's been updated with iTunes will now have Safari installed on their computer, which will take over all the defaults and become your default browser.
That hasn't happened to me yet. I've got Safari on my computer, but only because I put it on there on purpose, just to have a look. Because I remember you showing me, I wanted to have a look to see what it looked like. Use it.
Well, that's what the Apple updater started doing. Mozilla CEO did quite a big blog post about this. That's what it would do. You'd have to like no more update thing, and you have a checkbox for Safari as well.
Right. Yeah.
Which is checked by default. And one person reported saying, he came back to his computer and found the Safari installer just finishing. So maybe if it's that's on there for like 30 minutes or an hour, it like automatically just installs it. And yeah, all the Apple zealots are going on about, oh, blah blah blah, Safari's really good. And this is on the Mozilla CEO's blog. And it's really stupid. They're all saying it's sour grapes because Firefox can't compete against Safari. Safari is a piece of shit. Like all of Apple's software, it looks fucking disgusting with this ugly ass grey look. You know, this isn't the 1980s. We have more than four shades of colour now. It's ridiculous. So yeah, uninstall iTunes, uninstall QuickTime, ban all Apple software from your computer. Let's read some of these comments. You know, a lot of the Apple people are comparing it to the Firefox installer coming with the Google, you know, toolbars, things like that. This is completely different. This is an update application, which you just update software you've got already installed. It shouldn't go and install new software. So yeah, Apple, you suck. And you're now officially on my blacklist, and I would never purchase an Apple product ever. Despite a couple of weeks ago saying I was tempted by the iPhone. You've blown it now. Hutchies.
But yeah, that's it for this week. Next week I'll be back with some more...
Next week we'll be back with like a normal episode, which isn't Adam quickly rushing through 1,000 reviews because he has to go back and have a pizza.
Yeah, I got pizza on order. It's on its way and Sarah's got problems, so I need to go help her out. So we'll catch you guys next week. Paul would have had more, but he spent all today playing World of Warcraft, so...
What?
He gets forced into it.
Are we Sunday next week?
Or
are you being a blazy ass?
Hang on.
Come on, Miss Disorganization.
Sorry, we're just quickly jumping onto your router to get some net speedage.
Oi, can you not log onto my wireless network? Off.
You're asking a question.
Delete my password. I know, I'm going to walk up Paul's house and use his internet, even though he's got perfectly good internet at his own house.
Sunday is absolutely fine.
So okay, yeah, good. We'll be back on Sunday.
We'll see you guys then.